2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're beginning a new chapter today. Paul ended chapter 7 saying, I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. And you see the love of God coming through Paul, and that is part of the definition of love you see back in his first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about hoping all things, believing all things, and you just see that coming out of Paul here. Rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. Is that what Paul's eyes and ears were seeing and experiencing? Not necessarily. There was a lot of issues, and he chose not to focus on the flesh. That's where we get into trouble. You will get into trouble every single time. You will be unfruitful every single time once you get your eyes off of the blood-bought believer and that Christ has shed his blood for that person, even if they're not believing yet, and get your eyes on the flesh. You'll become discouraged. You'll lose hope, you'll lose heart, and you'll spin out and you'll become fruitless. You see Paul doing just the opposite here. He knows what God is doing. He knows that God is working, that he's a gardener and he's doing things and Christ is being formed in them. And he chooses to believe in that. He has purposed in his heart to have these things. So chapter 8 is coming out of this chapter about having a godly sorrow and that soil we talked about. The preparation of the heart, now that heart being able to give. Chapter 8 and 9 talk about a giving heart. A giving heart could be giving time, could be a phone call, could be something like that, giving a few minutes to somebody, giving a day to somebody, or could be a material, of course, of the familiar giving. But it's about an outflow, and that's what a Christian is. A Christian isn't a black hole. It's an amazing thing that God has given us powerful examples in our universe. Not trouble for him, because just in a moment he created all these things, but something that's outside of our understanding and doesn't even obey physical laws, a black hole. Light can't even escape it. It sucks everything in around it. It eats stars and stuff, and yet these things are out there. God has created them just as an example for us of what we're not to be. We're not to be black holes where everything revolves around us and we're consuming everything around us. And just gobbling it up. We're to be releasing light. So just the opposite of that collapsed star is a star that's giving. It's constantly giving. It's amazing the energy that comes from our sun. And another example that God has placed out there is one star for us, the sun. And how it just keeps giving, and keeps giving, and keeps giving. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or would have you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality or generosity. If that was the title of these next couple of chapters, I would have titled Abounding. Abounding or Abundance or both. Abounding and Abundance. Okay, a different type of AA meeting. We get together. And it's a meeting of abounding and abundance in the believer's chapel, in the congregation, the assembly of those that love God. Listen to the words, how they interplay here, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. And then he says, and the deep poverty abounded unto riches of generosity. Contrast is like black against white, is something that's sharply different. And these things are taking place in the believer. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Those are two things that are contrasted there. Those are two realities in a believer. Affliction is one thing that we talked about in chapter 6 there. We went through various details of affliction, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, remember the fake news and all the things we talked about, labors, watching, sleepless nights, fastings, denying the flesh, not having much, long-suffering, those things. We talked about the affliction there in chapter 6. These are all soil types that we stick our roots of faith, that our roots of faith dwell in. So affliction is one of those things that a Christian simply is in. We will have trouble because we are in this world. And until we leave this world, we're going to have trouble. That's where we exist. So one type of soil that we are in right now is called affliction. It's the trouble of this world. Chapter 6 talks about that. And it talks about the good things that come out of that soil, though. So that's what a believer has going for them. It has joy coming out of dirt. It has, out of trouble, joy is coming out. How does that work? It works by faith. Faith is in that soil. In that affliction, faith is working. And affliction's working on that faith and vice versa. The next soil we talked about was chapter 7, and that was the soil of godly sorrow. This is another thing that we grow our faith exists in. Our faith takes root in and spreads its roots out in is a godly sorrow. And these are the things that we stretch and reach out in. The implements of the soil are listed in verse 11. We talked about that last week. We went through that list there. Carefulness, clearing of yourselves, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, revenge, all these things, these powerful agencies that behold God and the pureness of who he is that are always working in us. So that's another type of soil that we produce fruit from. The third one is going to be talked about in these next two chapters, and that is the love of God. The love of God is another type of soil. And if I make it through half of this chapter, how then in a great trial of affliction, there's the soil, the abundance of their joy, and that's what's coming out of that. Nobody rejoices. We don't sit down and have a bowl of dirt for breakfast. That's not something that anybody desires, but that's where we're at. But out of that, things can grow. When the truth is planted, then faith comes by hearing the word of God. And God is going to plant seeds during those times of affliction. So out of that soil of affliction, God is going to be working his word. And you're going to spring roots into that. Roots are going to spring out of that truth. And that's your faith. The working out of that faith is the shoots that come up out of the soil and the fruit that's produced. Paul is going to be talking about that as well in these chapters. So not only soil, but what is being produced out of that. And in particular, specifically, they're giving to the people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was under heavy affliction. And they were starving, literally. And so he is encouraging them to direct their love that way. So you'll see a lot of that in here. Great trial of affliction, again in verse 2, the abundance of their joy. The deep poverty, there's a soil word, abounded unto the riches of their generosity. Soil is an opportunity for us to grow. How do we grow? From the truth, from the word of God. It will spring root and produce shoots. We are abounding in abundance as Christians. Abounding in abundance. God has placed us in a great field of soil, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I think I missed a verse there. Verse 3 there. For to their power, he's talking about the example of the Macedonian gift. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We're going to list some different things of the qualities of a giving heart. So another list coming at you today. And one of those things is going to be willingness. It's of a willing heart. It's not of a command. It's no longer of some type of command, some type of statute, some type of thing written on stone. It's of the abundance of the heart that we give. It's of a cheerful heart. There's joy happening and it bubbles over into your giving. God would rather have that than you following some dry commands on a stone and just getting by and your heart being hard and just fulfilling some kind of requirement. So that's the desire of our God. Thank God for that. He wants us to rise above a lot more than just being having robotic life here. He wants us to be musicians, in a sense, where there's a song going in our heart. We're living it. We're singing it all the time. Thank you, Lord. So the willing heart. You'll see that again in verse 12 as we go through the list of things here. And this they did, not only as we had hoped, but first gave of themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Number one I have in this list, and of course anybody can make lists going through this. The first one that I wanted to point out anyway is first unto God. First unto God. They gave themselves to the Lord. Romans 12, Patty's favorite verse, presenting your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12. So they presented themselves to the Lord. There's a lot of things that can be tugging at you in this life. There's a lot of needs all around you all the time. And you could feel like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to be torn apart by the sharks all around me that are hungry, you know, and that type of thing. And then now you feel like you got to hold back. And first of all, yourself before God. Give yourself as a living sacrifice before God. That's number one. That's number one. And that stays number one through the whole thing. That's not like, okay, I've done that. Now, no, it stays number one in everything that we do. God is always the priority in everything that we do. Anytime we bless somebody, anytime we give, God is always the priority, giving yourself to the Lord first. Why? Because it immediately severs any strings that may be attached to what you're giving. So important that the Christian gives without any strings attached. I can't stress this enough today, people. I would stand on my head if I wouldn't get a headache. And just demonstrate that today, I would be more than happy if that would get the point across, is that we would give unto ourselves completely to God first, because it's God that's giving through us unto others. This makes this severed. No flesh, no strings attached to what I'm giving you. Oh, thank you, I'm going to pay you back. No, you're not, because God has given this to me to give to you. Just take it. Take it. Number one, give yourselves to God. Insomuch in verse 6, that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Titus is going to be involved in this gift that Paul is working on for Jerusalem, to be blessing Jerusalem with. Paul is training Corinth, this love that's in their heart, that God is shed in their heart, now to be able to direct that, now to be able to use that, to be fruitful with that. You see that happening here in these two chapters. Titus is going to be instrumental, awesome brother in the Lord, very willing, great heart, and an honest man. We're going to see that as part of that. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I told you this chapter should be called Abounding in Abundance. You're going to see this abounding a lot, this word abounding. How you doing today, Roger? I'm abounding. I'm abounding. He's always got a smile. Roger is always encouraging, and appreciate him. He does have that abundance about him. He's abounding in the joy of the Lord. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, speech, and in knowledge, and in all diligence, being careful, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace. That's number two. Giving is a grace. How does grace work? It works like this. Reach up and give out. Reach up and give out. You reach up and give out. You're just part of the flow that's coming from heaven. You're part of the flow. Who gets the glory in that case is the one you're reaching up to. Abounding in this grace. Giving is a grace. It both begin with a letter G. Important to remember that. Again, no strings attached when it's grace. Freely give what you've been given. He who was forgiven much gives much. String cutters. You give of your heart and they throw it back in your face. No anger. It wasn't yours to begin with. It was God's. It's grace flowing from heaven through you to others. It's a beautiful thing to be part of that flow. Oh God, increase that flow through us, I would pray this morning. Increase that flow from heaven of your grace through us unto others. Multiply it. I think we read that, the guys read that on Wednesday. Mark was bringing that out, how Peter brings up it being multiplied. Grace being multiplied. Multiply your grace through us, Lord God. I would pray that right now, Father God. May we be children of light in that way, not just little tiny LED lights, Lord God, but brilliant in this way. God, make us excellent in this. No strings attached ever. Make us just feel so disgusted at having any kind of strings, but nothing but pure love and light. transposed from heaven unto others around us, Lord God. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment. You could underline that. But by occasion of the forwardness or willingness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. That idea of proving our salvation, proving the existence of God within us, the Holy Spirit within us, has come up over and over in the letter to Corinth. This idea of proving to God, no, that's called works. Proving to your own self, knowing, be sure of your salvation. Work it out with fear and trembling. Get stronger in your understanding and belief of this Holy Spirit working within you. Prove the sincerity of your love. So number 3 is the proving of love. And that goes right along with number 4 here. I'm going to get right to that. The two are connected. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. This is the third soil type. This is the third soil type that we grow and we're fruitful in. And I'm telling you, this is the real manure right here. This is the fertilizer. This is the good stuff. The affliction is great. That's the rototiller. It's moving the soil around. It's aerating. It's jarring us. The godly sorrow is great. Those are the implements of our roots stretching out into this. The godly sorrow. And now the roots are going to really get into the fertilizer here. And that is the death of Christ. His love demonstrated for us on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have life eternal. The death of Christ, that soil, his body, given for me and you. That's what God has planted me in and you in. That seed that's planted in that soil is called the gospel, and that soil is the death of Christ and his love for you. So number 3 and 4 go together. This love that's inside of us, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, as an enablement to be able to love others. So number 8 is not a commandment. Why? Because it's God working in us. It's the soil that God has planted the Christian believer in. The death of Jesus Christ. His body beaten and bruised for you. His body just given for you. That soil I grow out of. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he had glory with the Father before the foundations of the earth, the only begotten Son, he always eternally existed with God, who was with God and was God, as John chapter 1 says. He was rich. And he checked that riches at the door. His omniscience, omnipresence, the powers that he had, and he took on a sinful nature. All of a sudden, confined to 2 lungs required to breathe and only be able to think a few thoughts at a time like we. Growing, it said. Growing in stature. Experiencing a mom and dad growing up, brothers and sisters in the house, and the struggles of life. Being tempted in all ways. Yet for your sakes he did this. He became poor. That through his poverty, through that soil, through the love of God, I become rich. That enriches me every single day. That's how I'm enabled to love you. And herein I give my advice in verse 10, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward or willing a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. It's time to do it. In short, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to what he has not. Number five is willing. Number five is willing, and the old English says forward. You can almost think as you're that racer that's ready to spring forward. He's in that starting lock, they call him. I don't know what they call him. The foot braces there, but you're just at that tense moment, that forwardness, ready to go forward. And there's a readiness, a willingness of mind, ready to bless. And it's like that flow is going all the time in us. It's the love of God, and you're like a bubbled up soda bottle ready to explode. You're a torrent of living water. These terms of abundance are all through the scripture. God would have us be like this. He's not called us to depravity in the sense of being a monk with a bowl of rice and we find contentment and spirituality through that. No, he's called us to an abundance, to completeness of joy, to perfection, and to wholeness with him. Willingness of mind, that's that readiness. There's a pressure in us ready to give. There's a godly pressure inside of us ready to give. It is accepted according to the man has and not according to what he has not. Okay, here's what giving is not. It's not a commandment, and it's not according to what you don't have. And he's going to talk about what that means, equality. So we can, if we're making a list today, number six would be according to what a man has. For I mean not that other men be eased and yet ye be burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. If there's somebody in church, you know, and there's somebody that has an abundance and there's somebody sitting right next to them that is doesn't know where their next meal is coming from, and that goes on time after time, meeting after meeting, fellowship after fellowship, I would say there might be something wrong with that picture. So there should be sharing going on. And it should be of a pressure, a willingness that it's going on because God is working within you. It's a proving out. It's a walking out of your salvation. You're yielding to that pressure that's inside of you. And I need to be careful with the wordings that I choose because it is, these are elements of faith, and faith is about yielding to God's power. So you're yielding to a pressure that's inside of you to give. And this is a pressure that comes from God. The Holy Spirit's inside your heart, shedding abroad the love of God. You should feel a pressure inside of there. If you don't, get to God and ask for that pressure. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, cleanse me from all sin with your blood on the cross. God, develop this godly sorrow in me. Lord Jesus, whatever it takes, affliction or trouble, I don't want to throw it. I don't want to run away from it and hide from it or insulate myself, Lord, from those things. If those things are going to bring me to a place of having this living torrent flow out of me. As it is written in verse 15, he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. I love the God of the Bible. I love our God, the Creator God. I look back even to the Old Testament and I see his giving heart. The nature of God is love, and love gives. It's an outward flow all the time. He's a creator. That's his nature was to create. His nature was to create you and me and love you and me. That's just God's nature. That's his stuff. One of the examples I really enjoy is Ruth and the gleanings, the commandments of the gleanings back in the Old Covenant, and God teaching the children of Israel to have that giving heart, to have the giving willingness of mind. It took him dying on the cross to give us that heart, but you could see the instruction back there in the Old Covenant. You know, when you're gleaning the field, don't take every last kernel off the corn and the wheat and so forth, the grapes off the vine, you know, and just strip it clean. And then the poor person comes by and they got to eat the grape leaves, you know, or the pull the weeds and eat those and leave them some of the fruit, leave them some of the grain. And that's the heart of God. I love that. I love it. I love the fact that the woman got together this Tuesday and they had an abundance of not just, you know, just macaroni and cheese quick mixed up. It looked like there was some heart that went into it. And I don't know, not a lot of people have time, and I'm going to condemn somebody if they didn't have time to make something like that. But I know that it's just awesome to have that heart and to see that. She showed me a picture of that. And it's like, wow, that's so God. That's so, you know, that he loves to have that the tithes and offerings brought into the house, and then people eating that. You would bring that the offering into the house and eat it before the Lord and rejoice. The families and the kids are running around, and his house would be full. That's the nature of God, the God that we worship. He's also the God that created that flower that opens up in the morning to that bright sunshine. And I think of that every time I worship. God, just allow my heart to open up to your light right now, Lord God, that I might receive more of your light into the deepest part of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. But thanks be to God. There we are in verse 16. Paul's right tracking with me, or I'm tracking with him in the Word of God here. It's his word. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more willing, of his own accord he went unto you. Titus, awesome guy in the body there, very willing. And we have sent him the brother, I'm not going to mention a name here, I'm guessing Apollos. He was the first one that people are divided towards, Apollos, Cephas, all that, whose praise is the gospel throughout all the churches. Could be somebody else. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered to us by the glory of the same Lord and the declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Providing for honest things in verse 21, and that is number 8, I believe, in the list there. I got my numbers correct here. Number 7 was equality, the gleaning, the willingness to share, the desiring to have that type of thing. And number 8, honesty. Providing for honest things. So Paul is being careful with this. He knows when there's money involved and there's material involved, that there can be all kinds of trouble. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And the wolves will be in around that, and there'll be trouble with that. So Paul is very careful to have the right people handling it, and to make sure there's good exposure, to make sure that there's honesty here. So that's important, the handling of finances. Honesty. Providing for honesty. Honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Very important. In the sight of the Lord, obviously, but also in the sight of people. And we have sent them our brother, whom you have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. On our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches in the glory of Christ. He's given, telling them that these are honest men. You know, you can trust them with this gift. It's actually going to get there and not going to go to Hotel Jerusalem and on their way and spend it, or this, what's this new casino that we drove by? Largo, Lodo. It's not what we need, Lord. Not what we need. Wherefore, show ye to them before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Praise God. Chapter 9 is a sister to chapter 8. We will break into it a little bit here. For as touching the ministry of the saints, it is superfluous. Want to try that word?
Superfluous.
I can say big words except when I'm up here. For me to write to you, for I know the forwardness. Again, there's that willingness. There's that bubble that's ready to burst. If you don't have it, ask God for it, because he's the supplier of it. That willingness, that readiness. As soon as you enter into, you know, this judgmental kind of thing, it's your left hand not knowing what your right is doing. It's almost like it jumps right out of your hand. It's that type of readiness to give. Will there be people that take advantage of that? Absolutely. Is that your problem? No, because it is God working through you. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Keep giving. Overcome evil with what? With good. Keep giving. The grace will lead to repentance. For I know the forwardness, the readiness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that would say not, should we be ashamed in this thing, in the same confident boasting. So that would be a little embarrassing if they came and nobody was expecting that. It's like, oh, he should have told us. And so Paul is preparing for that. So this is all about a gift for Jerusalem. And Paul is being very careful. He's very careful about these material things. He knew this was a big source of trouble. He could have took a paycheck from the church. We know that was because of this. He didn't do that. He wanted to make sure the gospel had no strings attached to it of that nature, that he could give freely in that sense, and he could work making tents and so forth. You see that carefulness here as well. So it's an important thing for us. This brings up number 9. There can be awkwardness in giving. Our finances are simply here. We have utilities and rent, and we don't put a basket out and pass it around. And that is for that reason right there. Number 9, the awkwardness, coupled with a couple other reasons here. The quality, the willingness, the readiness, and according to what a man has and what he has not, all of that can produce an awkwardness when someone shoves a plate in front of your face. Okay, you might have a different opinion on this, but I'm just going to go with what they did in the temple and they set a box somewhere. That's where you can give. If you have a different opinion, I'd be glad to hear it. I know a lot of churches will put a basket right in front of your nose, and I feel that produces something that isn't of a nature that comes from the heart. That isn't that necessarily. It produces something that is of command. Here it is, it's right in your nose. That to me is a command and an awkwardness. And I don't want to beat that too much, but I've thought about these things a lot, obviously. That thought is the result of what we do here. Yeah, we can have auctions and we can have triple tie Sundays and we can be in a bigger building and produce things off of the effort of man. But no thanks. So that's number 9. There's an awkwardness about giving, and that's the receiving of it, and the whole process can be an awkward thing, and Paul's dealing with that. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. There it is. It's a matter of bounty, not of covetousness. It's not something that's coming from the wrong motives. Very important. Very important. It's a very delicate matter. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Awesome thing about being able to give, not only is it coming from God, it's going to return bountifully. You're just in a win-win situation. So that's a spiritual law right there. That is something you can trust in God on. That's a promise of God. If I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. I'm already pulling from the bounty of heaven, and that is going to produce a bounty coming in return. A win-win situation there. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. Where is it taking place? In your heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not shoved in your face, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As is written, he dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. We're almost done with this chapter, I'm going to finish it. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. It's not me giving it to you. Who gets the thanksgiving? Verse 11. God does. There it is. For the administration of the service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is the abundance also of many thanksgivings unto God. Again, these two chapters you can title The Abundance, Abounding Abundance. While by the proving or the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. and by their prayer for you, which long after, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord. I want to read that one more time from verse 9. His unspeakable gift. This is the resource. This is the soil where you will be fruitful. You will not be fruitful without this soil. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, and for your sake, Gretchen, for your sake, Seth, he became poor. That through his poverty, you might be rich. Thank you, Father, for this journey through your word. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord Jesus, to allow this truth to sink into the soil of your love, Lord God. Lord, I want to pray against apostasy, and I know the thing that's coming against this very church is coming against the church abroad is apostasy in the end times, because iniquity abounding, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. We don't want to sign up. We're not on that roster, God. We're going to stay on the roster that is burning, the one that's on fire, that's written in by the ink of your blood, Lord God. I want to be in that holy fire, Lord Jesus Christ. I know there's tribulation that comes with it. I know there's trouble that comes with it. Enrich us, Lord God, at this time. Help us, Lord God, when iniquity abounds, when we've been rejected, when things have been thrown back at us, that we don't curl back. We don't become calloused. Keep us fresh and raw, Lord God. Fill us afresh this morning with your Holy Spirit. How we need you, as we sang this morning, God. Oh, how we need you. Fill us, Lord God. Work in the soil of our heart, Lord God. We know it took a great effort, a creation of a universe, death on the cross, all of these things to just get this heart that's inside of me. You were jealous for it. I don't understand that. I don't understand. I know I will someday, and I'm going to be praising you forever for it. I'm just going to believe now, Lord God, though, that this thing that you've created with me, this heart that you've created with me, is something that you desire, that you hold to a great regard, God. You can have it, God. Make this your garden. Make these hearts that are beating in front of me your garden, God. Not of stinginess, Lord God, not of callousness, not of judgment and sarcasm, God, but of pure love, unadulterated, Lord God. Let it flow, Lord Jesus. Let it flow, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for the beautiful day around us. We pray that we'd be great examples, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.